You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Orioles fans. Today is Thursday, September 16th, 2021, and welcome back in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb, and coming up on today's episode, woof, we will recap probably the loss that hurt me deep into my heart and soul the most this season, as the Orioles fall 4-3 to the New York Yankees on Wednesday night. I'll get you the five things you need to know from that Orioles loss and talk about just how much that one hurt and really for what reasons that was. Then, a little later, we will take a look around the league a bit at some former Orioles. We know the O's have used a whole lot of players this season, 59 of them to be exact. And what that means is a lot of those players aren't even still in the organization, players that the Orioles have used on the 2021 roster. So I wanted to take a look around the league, really update you all on how those players are doing. Some of them are on major league teams with other clubs, some of them in the minors with other clubs, and some of them haven't really caught on anywhere else just yet. Update you on all of those guys coming up a little bit later. And then we'll get you ready for the final game of this three-game series between the Orioles and the Yankees, the final game of the season between the O's and the Yankees. A little interesting 5:05 p.m. Eastern start tonight at Camden Yards. I'll be in attendance for that one, but we'll get you the preview as the O's have one more chance to play spoiler against the Yanks this season. But that and more is all coming up on this episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast, which is actually brought to you by another pod here on the network. That is Locked On MLB. Join walking baseball encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, but please call him Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past. Featuring exciting guest interviews and routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts, including myself sometimes. Subscribe to Locked On MLB today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. So today we start with a crushing Orioles loss as the O's fall 4-3 to the Yankees in Game 2 of a three-game series at Camden Yards on Wednesday night. And it is loss number 99 for the Orioles. They are now 46-99 on the season. We're going to get you the five things you need to know from the Orioles 4-3 loss to the Yankees on Wednesday night. First thing you need to know, let's start on the positive side. John Means was pretty good once again for the Orioles. Now, he didn't get as deep into the game as he probably wanted, but still was effective. Means, in his final line on the night, 5 2/3 innings, 2 runs on 4 hits, 4 strikeouts, 2 walks, 1 home run allowed, but it did take him 103 pitches to get through 5 2/3 innings. His ERA now 3.41 on the season. And for Means, you know, he had a chance to get through 6. He got the first 2 batters of the 6th, and then he walked a man with 2 outs and on a 3-2 pitch with nobody on, and was pulled in favor of Connor Green, who got the final out of the inning. But Means was pretty good. And, you know, another number which, you know, the Orioles haven't seen a lot lately is double-digit whiffs by a starting pitcher. And, you know, it was 13 whiffs for Means and 103 pitches, so it's not like it's a, you know, great ratio there for John Means. But the velo was up on his pitches, and the fastball was the pitch. The fastball was the pitch for John Means. We haven't seen that in a while for Means, and he threw a lot more fastballs than we are used to seeing. It was 54 fastballs, I should say, for John Means, 52% of the time. He got 10 whiffs on that pitch alone, one of his best fastball days of the season. Now, couple that with 10 called strikes on that fastball, couple that with 11 foul balls on that fastball, couple it with 10 balls put in play on the fastball. That was the pitch that got things done for John Means. The velo was up a little bit. He averaged 93.7, the average on the year 92.9 in terms of miles per hour. He touched and hit above 95 a couple of times with that four-seamer on Wednesday night. This was good stuff for Means, and I gotta be honest, you know, it wasn't the best day for his secondary stuff, but it was good to see the fastball was kind of carrying him. That was pretty impressive from John Means on Wednesday night. Now, he threw 22 changeups, 22 curveballs, and 5 sliders to go along with the 54 fastballs. And again, he got a couple of whiffs on the change. He struck out Aaron Judge with the changeup in the first inning. He got 1 whiff on the curveball, although the curveball is the pitch where he gave up his runs, a 2-run home run hit by Gio Urshela in the top of the 3rd inning. And then the slider just really wasn't there. He only threw it 5 times. But the velo was, interestingly, kind of way up on all of his pitches. His changeup average velo was about 85 to 86. It's usually about 83 on the season. Curveball velocity sat around 80, 81. It's usually about 78 on the season. Even the slider sat about 88, 89, which is usually 86 to 87 on the year. And we mentioned, you know, the fastball was up about a mile per hour as well. The other secondary pitches each up about 2 miles per hour. So kind of interesting for Means. And we know when he was throwing harder in 2020, that actually led to less success for him on the mound. This year, it hasn't been as direct of a correlation in terms of the velocity spikes and dips, but something else to watch as well. But overall, John Means looking a lot more like the early season Means, and hopefully he can close it out with his last few starts looking like that as well. Second thing you need to know from the Orioles 4-3 loss is that how about Austin Hayes? He continues to be red hot down the stretch this season. Hayes with a 2-for-4, and really, he was the entire Orioles offense. O's had 3 runs on 6 hits in the game. All 3 runs came from Austin Hayes. It was a solo home run for Hayes in the bottom of the 6th inning that knocked Nestor Cortez basically out of the game at that point, who had struck out 11 to get the Orioles on the board, make it a 2-1 game. And then he had what we thought was going to be the deciding blow, the defining moment of really the late season for the Orioles. Hayes with a 2-out, 2-strike, 2-run homer off of Chad Green in the bottom of the 8th to put the Orioles ahead, give them a 3-2 lead. He did a nice little bat drop. It was a cool moment for Austin Hayes, and we thought the Orioles were off to a victory. Obviously, they weren't, but a 2-for-4, 2 homers, 3 RBIs. His other 2 at-bats were strikeouts, but for Austin Hayes, the numbers continue to climb here in August and now September as he continues to swing the bat very, very well here late in the season. And his September numbers, 302 average, 351 on base, almost an 1100 OPS with 6 home runs now in the month of September. He is looking good late, and that is great for the Orioles to see a healthy and a productive Austin Hayes here late in the season. Third thing you need to know from this one is that somehow, some way, Pat Valaika is kind of being productive since being recalled. He came back up on Tuesday after the Orioles placed Jorge Mateo on the injured list, and Mateo will miss the rest of the season with a back injury. And we were saying, well, Valaika hasn't had much success. How's this going to go? Well, he got on base twice on Tuesday night, and then he got on base twice again on Thursday night, 1-for-3 with a single, a walk, and a strikeout on the night. He started at shortstop, hit in the 7-hole, moved over to second base late in the game. And Valaika also made a key defensive play in the game. In the top of the 9th inning, after the Yankees had already scored their 2 runs to take a 4-3 lead, there were runners on the corners with 2 outs. Aaron Judge hit a ground ball up the middle. Valaika was playing second. Looked like that ball was destined to go into center field for a base hit that would have given the Yankees another run. But Valaika makes an incredible backhanded play. He's on the opposite side of second base, on the shortstop side, throws off his back foot, really, and fires a strike over to Ryan Mountcastle to just get Judge at first base to get the final out of the inning and keep the game at 4-3. Is a fantastic play by Valaika, who, you know, the defense has been shaky since he has joined the Orioles last season. And I know it's only been 2 games, and he's been productive, and it's kind of interesting because we haven't seen Jamai Jones in the starting lineup for the Orioles since Saturday. Now, there hasn't been any injury reported. He's been available off the bench. He did come in off the bench in Sunday's game, but he did not start the game. And then he hasn't appeared in either game against the Yankees so far. And it's been Valaika who's taken his at-bats so far. And obviously, you'd much rather see Jamai Jones get those at-bats than Valaika down the stretch here. But we'll see what Brandon Hyde wants to do there. Fourth thing you need to know from the Orioles' loss is that Tyler Wells is just not pitching poorly. It's just the stuff is going through a little bit of a dip here this season. And obviously we saw it back on Saturday when he came into the game to try and save game one of that doubleheader against the Blue Jays and gave up 4 runs over an inning and a third. All 4 of those runs coming in the top of the 7th inning when he blew the save, gave up, of course, the go-ahead homer to George Springer. So he hadn't pitched since then, and Brandon Hyde goes to him in this one. Orioles leading 3-2, heading into the top of the 9th. He's looking for another save. And you could tell from the beginning the stuff just was not there for him. It was a leadoff walk to Luke Voit to start the inning. And then, on a 1-2 slider, Gleyber Torres went down and got it, singled up the middle. It was first and second. He got Gary Sanchez to fly out. But then there was a double steal that really helped the Yankees. And then, of course, you know, you can't really fault Wells for this. He had a great battle with Brett Gardner, who just blooped a 2-run single into left center field to make it a 4-3 Yankees lead. Infield was in on the play. If the infield was at regular depth, it would have been a pop out, would have been the second out. So kind of tough luck for Wells right there. But either way, you know, the stuff just didn't look as crisp. He ended up throwing 22 pitches, charged with two runs on two hits, a walk, no strikeouts, recorded just one out. And again, you know, it's just not the fastball, you know, still has good velocity for Tyler Wells. You know, he's still throwing it up there at 96, 97. But the slider especially, you know, he threw 12 fastballs, 9 sliders. He threw one changeup in the ninth inning on Wednesday night. The slider just doesn't have that same bite. I think that's the pitch that's been hurting him. That's the pitch he gave up the go-ahead homer to Springer on. And it just doesn't have that same exact bite that we've seen it have earlier in the season. The fastball still does look good, but the command just a little off. And I think that's the problem for Wells right now. He just needs a little bit of a reset, and I don't think they'll shut him down or anything. And it's only a two-game stretch where he hasn't looked good. He's looked great other than that for Tyler Wells, and he is still a big part of this Orioles' future bullpen, I think, and a fantastic Rule 5 draft selection by Mike Elias. But it just stinks that, you know, his little dip for the first time really since April came in back-to-back save situations. But he'll bounce back from this. And again, you're putting a Rule 5 rookie draft pick who hadn't pitched since 2018 into save situations against the Yankees in September. You can't expect every single thing to go right in that scenario. And the fifth and final thing you need to know from the Orioles 4-3 loss is that it really hurt. And there was just a bunch of weird stuff that happened in that ninth inning for it to really hurt. And after Austin Hayes hits the homer in the eighth, puts the Orioles up 3-2. Camden Yards is rocking. You're feeling this is going to be a signature great win to spoil the Yankees. And then get the two runners on and, you know, then the double steal comes and there's second and third. The infield comes in. The grounds crew is out by the tarp up the right field line because rain was about to come to the area. They're ready to pull the tarp out if they need to. And Tim Timmons, the crew chief of the umpiring crew, goes out and ejects the tarp crew. He sends them back into, you know, their little space out in right field. Says you can't sit behind the tarp. That is what ground crews do all the time. They sit behind the tarp if rain's coming. So at the second's notice, when the umpires or the grounds crew says it's ready to go, they're there to go and put that tarp on as fast as possible. Well, he kicks them off the field, and not 60 seconds later, the skies open up, and it starts to pour at Oriole Park. And here's Tyler Wells trying to pitch through a pouring down rainstorm. And, you know, he makes a couple of good pitches to Gardner, who just dinks one into left center field. I hate Brett Gardner. I continue to hate Brett Gardner, and he annoys me more than any Yankees player ever, and he continued that with a hit he did not deserve to give the Yankees the lead on Wednesday night, but it's neither here nor there. But I don't understand. And then Timmons was asked after the game, and he said, you know, in a text to the AP, I didn't eject the grounds crew. I just didn't want them near the tarp with the infield in, which made zero sense whatsoever. What does the infield in have to do with them being by the tarp? Then, of course, you can't put the tarp out when it's pouring. The Orioles give up two runs. It hurts the Orioles' defense in that inning as well with it pouring down rain. It's hard to see. It's hard to pitch. Then, of course, the rain stops for the Yankees in the bottom of the ninth, where Aroldis Chapman can come in, go 1-2-3, and secure a Yankees win. So, yeah, fantastic umpiring there, Mr. Timmons. Really, really great job there. You really did it there. It's just unbelievable that there's no just sequence of accountability for Major League umpires. Players can get sent down, DFA'd, but umpires essentially have that job for life if they want it, and it's kind of ridiculous. But I don't know what you're doing ejecting a ground crew thinking you're going on some sort of power trip at that point. It's just ridiculous to watch umpires sometimes. But either way, the Orioles lose it 4-3, and just really the number one probably heartbreaking loss of this season for the Orioles. Man, that would have felt good to beat the Yankees like that with the Austin Hayes home run, and it just didn't work out. Obviously not a super talented team, and you're going to a Rule 5 rookie to save the game, and you know it's the right decision because Wells has been good, and he has handled that closer role okay before this season, but just didn't work out this time, and it really stunk to watch. I think this loss got to me more than any of the other 98 losses this season. But for the Orioles, you know, we talk about using Tyler Wells in the closer role, and that's kind of a product of also just the amount of players that they've gone through this season. 59 players have appeared in a game at the major league level for the Orioles this year, which is a franchise record. And, you know, you hear that number, that means a lot of them are no longer with the organization. So coming up next, wanted to give you an update on the guys who played for the Orioles here in 2021, but are now with other organizations or just aren't with the Orioles. Wanted to go around and let you know how they're doing, if they're succeeding or not so much, and if the Orioles maybe gave up on anyone too early. We'll talk about that after the break. So we'll get back to the pod in just a second, but first, does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. So obviously a trend with the Orioles this year has been using a whole lot of players, 59 of them. It's a franchise record that they have used this year. They'll probably get over 60 and get three, four more at least, it feels like, before this 2021 season ends. But because there's been so many players who have played at the major league level for the O's here in 2021, that means a lot of players that they've moved on from. You know, you only have 40 spots on that 40-man roster. And so a good amount of these guys who were with the Orioles this year are no longer with the organization. A lot of them are on other major league teams or in other minor league systems here to finish out this year. And on today's episode, I just wanted to kind of run through those guys and let you know how they're doing on other teams. You know, it's helpful to make a some sort of observation on, you know, whether or not they have done well. The Orioles made the right decision, the wrong decision, whatever it may be. It was kind of inspired by seeing Josh Rogers. Remember him? The Orioles got him from the Yankees in the Zach Britton trade a couple years ago. Orioles had released him from a minor league deal earlier in the season. He had appeared at the major league level a couple times for the Orioles in 2018, but never really materialized. Obviously, had Tommy John surgery, but he's made a couple of good starts recently for the Washington Nationals, who picked him up and brought him to the major league level. So this kind of made me want to look at more of these guys. So we will start at this point with a couple of veteran infielders that the Orioles brought in for this season. And the first will be Michael Franco, who, of course, it did not work out for him in an Oriole uniform this year. They signed him late in spring training to be the starting third baseman. He played in 104 games. He hit just .210 this year at a 62 OPS plus, 609 OPS. He had 11 homers and 22 doubles, but he didn't hit. The defense wasn't great, and the Orioles finally cut the ties with him. He was DFA'd by the O's on August 25th. On August 31st, he signed a minor league contract with the Atlanta Braves, and since then, he has been in the Braves minor league system, but actually has not played a game in the Braves system just yet. So he is with Atlanta if the Braves were to need him at this point, but I'm not sure they will unless there is some sort of injury to the major league roster as they get ready, most likely, to win the NL East and get to the playoffs. The other guy there, of course, was Freddy Galvis, who the Orioles signed to be their shortstop this offseason, and he was pretty solid, you know, at the end of the day. He ended up playing 72 games with the Orioles, hit .249, .306 on base, 9 homers, 12 doubles. Of course, he had the injury issue with the quad that kept him out for a while, and while he was still injured, the Orioles actually traded him to the Philadelphia Phillies, his former organization. They got the right-handed pitcher Tyler Burch back in that deal, who is now at AA with the Orioles in a July 30th trade as they sent an injured Galvis over to Philly. But Galvis has finally returned from the injured list. He's now played in 18 games for the Phillies, who are still hanging on in the playoff chase, both in the NL East and the wild card in the National League. The Orioles will actually head to Philadelphia next week for a three-game series against the Phillies. But Galvis, 18 games with Philadelphia, .232 average, .290 on base. He does have 4 homers in just 18 games, and he has 1 double as well, and he's played some solid defense. The offense actually overall has been a little bit better in the small 18-game sample size with Philly than the 72 games with the Orioles, but really not by much, and the defense has been solid, something that the Phillies have definitely needed so far this season. And of course, overall with these guys we're going to talk about, there's going to be more pitchers overall than hitters for many reasons. But one of the other big hitters on this list, how about Rio Ruiz? Of course, he came into this season we thought would be the Orioles' third baseman. Then the O's signed Michael Franco, kind of put that into question. They moved Ruiz over to second base for a while where he had a starting spot. And the big conversation last offseason was, will Rio survive 2021 as an Oriole? And the answer just became no. The Orioles ended up DFAing Rio late in May after a bad start to the season. Played 32 games with the Orioles, hit just .167 this year with a .250 on base, 3 homers, 3 doubles. The defense was bad. The offense was really, really bad. The worst offense really of his career. And they DFA'd him. And on May 24th, the Rockies ended up claiming him off waivers. And now he spent most of the time with the Rockies in AAA. And in his time in Colorado's AAA team, 59 games, 304 average, 361 on base. He's got 7 homers in that time, had 20 doubles in 59 games. So he has gotten his shot with the Rockies at the major league level. He's actually currently on the active roster in the majors. He's played 21 games for the Rockies, and the offense has gotten a little better, maybe you could argue, but not by much. 21 games, got a 222 average, a 281 on base, but still no power, 0 home runs, just 1 double in the now 32 plate appearances he's had. Again, it's 21 games, but a lot of it's been as a pinch hitter, obviously, in the National League. So things still not going well for Rio Ruiz, and it's going to be tough for him to make it back to the Major League level by next year. Next guy, we'll talk about Stevie Wilkerson, who, of course, was an Orioles kind of folk legend, it felt like, but you know, didn't do much with the O's at the major league level this year. He played in 30 games with the Orioles this year, hit 167 with a 211 on base, no homers, 3 doubles. He did pitch a couple of times for the O's, which he is known to do, plays the infield and the outfield, but the 29-year-old utility man spent most of his time in the minor leagues with the Orioles this year, 36 games in Norfolk, 244 average, 352 on base with a couple of homers. But the Orioles decided to release him back in mid-August, and Stevie has not yet signed with another organization. Hoping that he catches on with somebody else. Next guy is Chance Sisko, who was another, you know, big talking point for the Orioles. Will they end up keeping Chance Sisko, or will it be the end of the line? And for the 26-year-old catcher, who was an Orioles second-round pick out of high school back in 2013, they finally cut ties with Sisko after 23 games with the Orioles this season, just a 154 batting average, a 247 on base, no power, no homers, just a couple of doubles in his 73 plate appearances. It was time to go for Sisko. The defense was horrendous, and the offense was nowhere near what it used to be. So the Orioles DFA'd him in June, and on June 25th, the Mets selected Chance Sisko off of waivers, and they stashed Chance in AAA, where, you know, for the Mets at the AAA level so far this season, he has played in 28 games with the Syracuse Mets, a 212 average, a 323 on base, does have 5 homers. He did also play 12 games in Norfolk with the Orioles. They actually optioned him before they DFA'd him, and he didn't hit well there as well. Sisko, at the moment, is active in AAA, suffered a kind of a scary injury in one of his 5 games at the major league level with the Mets. Actually played 5 games with the Mets, had 10 plate appearances. He went 1-for-9 with a double, an RBI, a walk, and 3 strikeouts. And he is back down in AAA, but he is kind of operating as the Mets' third catcher right now. And if they do have another injury, they could pull up Chance Sisko once again. And then the final hitter is Domingo Leyba, of course, who the Orioles claimed off of waivers from the Arizona Diamondbacks. That was back on June 4th after he had that weird start to the season with the D-backs where he was 0-for-22. He got more hits in an Oriole uniform, ended up playing 21 games for the Orioles, but he hit just 154 with a 236 on base, a homer, a double. He was 10-for-65 at the plate. He got 72 plate appearances this year with the O's. And then Baltimore, well, they DFA'd him as well, just like the Diamondbacks did. And after he went on claim, they ended up releasing him on August 19th. Domingo Leyba was gone, but he did get another chance, as it took a little while. But on September 3rd, Leyba signed a minor league free agent contract with the Texas Rangers, and he has been in AAA with them since that point. And we know Leyba has always kind of been a masher at AAA. He hit 457 in 8 AAA games with the Diamondbacks. In 18 AAA games with the Tides, he hit 275 with 5 home runs. 10 games at AAA Round Rock in the Texas organization so far. Hitting 295, got a homer, got 3 doubles, got 12 RBIs. He continues to tear up AAA. The next step for the 26-year-old, though, can he turn that into success at the major league level? We will have to see, but it's not going to come with the Orioles, as that is the group of hitters that have since moved on for the Orioles. But the pitchers, it's a little more of an extensive list, as you can probably tell, because the Orioles have just run through so many pitchers so far this season. So let's start it off with Sean Armstrong, who, you know, had a really, really good 2020 out of the Orioles bullpen, and the 31-year-old right-hander came into this season, and we're thinking it's time for him to play a big part in the Orioles bullpen this year, but that was not the case. He pitched in 20 games out of the Orioles' pen this year, and in 20 innings, he had an 8.55 ERA on the season. It was just not working out for Sean Armstrong, and the Orioles ended up trading him at the deadline. On July 30th, they sent him over to the Tampa Bay Rays for cash considerations. And, you know, it seemed like an odd move at the time. The Orioles had already sent Armstrong down to AAA. He was pitching for the Tides at the time of the trade, so it didn't even come right from the Orioles' major league roster. But it was pretty much time, it seemed, to move on from Sean Armstrong. He had just become no longer reliant at the MLB level, and he had pitched in 15 games for the Tides. He had a 3.18 ERA in 17 innings. But then he went to the Rays, and with AAA Durham, 6 games, 5 2/3 innings, 3 runs, but he actually got the call-up to the major league level, did Sean Armstrong. And now he is back in AAA at the moment, but he's pitched in 11 games with the Rays this year, and he has, in 16 innings, a 4.50 ERA. So, of course, the Tampa Bay Rays have maybe seemingly fix Sean Armstrong, as he's been better with the Rays. Now, again, he is back in AAA, but wouldn't be surprised to see him at the major league level again with Tampa Bay. Next up is a guy who did not pitch well at all for the Orioles this year. That is the right-handed pitcher, Sean Anderson. Now, the Orioles ended up claiming him on waivers earlier in the season, picked him off waivers on July 3rd from the Rangers, and DFA'd him about a month later as the San Diego Padres claimed him off waivers from the Orioles on August 7th. In Anderson's time with the Orioles, 7 games out of the bullpen, 10 innings, 15 runs, 7 strikeouts, and 9.00 ERA, because only 10 of those runs were earned, but it was bad. He pitched in 4 games out of the San Diego bullpen and did throw 3 2/3 scoreless. But for Sean Anderson, he is still in the major league bullpen for the San Diego Padres. Kind of been back and forth, but they're looking for pitching. He still somehow hasn't given up a run, although to me, that was the worst pitcher I saw for the Orioles this season. How about Max Soroller? Of course, the Orioles' first Rule 5 draft pick this year. We talked about Tyler Wells today already. He was the second round pick. Max Soroller was the first round Rule 5 pick out of the Red system. It did not go well. Soroller pitched in 5 games out of the Oriole bullpen, had an injury in there as well. 7 2/3 innings, 15 hits, 12 earned runs, 11 Ks, 7 walks, 6 home runs allowed. And the Orioles just decided it was time. On June 26th, they returned him back to the Cincinnati Reds. With Cincinnati, he pitched in AA for them, and the stats really were not much better. 10 appearances, 7 starts in AA Chattanooga this season, an 8.42 ERA in 36 1/3 innings. Hasn't gone well for Ben McDonald's nephew, Mr. Max Soroller. And right now, at the moment, he is currently not pitching. He was on the injured list again a bit. He's now listed on the development list and has not pitched in the minors since August 21st for the Reds. I don't know how it's going to work out for Soroller, but he has not been good at any level of pitching really this year in all of baseball. Next up, it's sometimes hard to remember, but Wade LeBlanc did in fact pitch for the Orioles this season. Remember, the O's brought him back on a minor league deal this year for the 37-year-old left-hander, and it was a short, brief stint with the Orioles again this year. 6 games pitched in, he made 1 start, he had a 9.45 ERA, 6 2/3 innings, 7 runs, 11 hits off of Wade LeBlanc this season. But that was not it for his major league time, surprisingly enough, here in 2021. As LeBlanc, who was eventually DFA'd by the Orioles, he actually signed with the Brewers in early May, pitched in AAA there, then was released by the Brewers in late May. Then he signed with the Rangers in early June, pitched in AAA for a bit, was released by the Rangers in late June. And then June 17th, he signed a minor league deal with the St. Louis Cardinals, and he has kind of stuck with the Cardinals since June 17th. Now, he's been on the injured list for a little bit, but overall, the Cardinals actually got him back to pitching at the major league level. This is the same St. Louis Cardinals who currently hold the second wild card spot in the National League. And yes, they used Wade LeBlanc this season in their pitching staff. And for LeBlanc, you know, it's not like he was lighting the world on fire for the Cardinals, but he pitched in 12 games, made 8 starts for St. Louis, and in 42 and a third innings had a 3.61 ERA for the Cardinals. He is currently on the 10-day injured list, and he may be out for the season for St. Louis, but they're kind of wishing they had him back right now. I mean, he was kind of effective for the Cardinals this year. Maybe the Orioles let him walk too soon, but I will say when he was up with the Orioles, it was not good. Two more guys to get to, two more pitchers. The first one is going to be maybe the toughest name, I would say, to get on the 2021 Orioles Sporkle Quiz when you try to name every single player on the roster. That is Brandon Waddell, the 27-year-old left-handed reliever who the Orioles claimed off waivers from the Twins back on May 8th. They sent him directly to AAA, but he did actually pitch in one game for the Orioles. That is right. It's going to be extremely difficult to remember it ever happening, but he came out of the bullpen one time for the Baltimore Orioles in 2021, so we count it. We put it on the board. It was May 27th in Chicago against the White Sox, pitched a scoreless inning, faced 4 batters, got 3 outs, and walked a batter as well through 14 pitches. That was it for Waddell's time with the Orioles. They later DFA'd him in June. And guess who? It was the St. Louis Cardinals who ended up claiming him off waivers. And he pitched a little bit for the Cardinals at the major league level. 4 games out of the Cardinals bullpen, 2 runs on 4 hits over 4 1/3 innings. He is currently in AAA with the Cardinals, but is on their 40-man roster, so could be back at the majors anytime soon. And then the final guy is probably the other guy who will be super difficult to get on the Orioles Sporkle, and that is Jay Fla. Yeah, he had a great name, a great story. A pick out of North Dakota. The Orioles selected him in the 6th round out of North Dakota State in 2015. And he finally made it to the big leagues this year. It was a really cool moment for Fla, who was a part of that really good Bowie bullpen back in 2019. Well, he finally made it this year with Baltimore and just provided a little bit of bullpen depth for them. And again, pitched in one single game for Baltimore. And just like Waddell, put up a 0. In that one single game, he pitched against the New York Yankees at Camden Yards on April 27th, pitched an inning and a third scoreless, 2 walks, 1 strikeout. He struck out Aaron Judge for his first major league strikeout, but then the Orioles DFA'd him, which was a little surprising because he was, you know, an Orioles guy, not much of a prospect, but was an Orioles guy. But the Atlanta Braves claimed him off waivers back on May 11th, and same thing with the Orioles. He pitched in one game for the Braves. Now, it did not go as well. May 29th against the Mets, he pitched an inning and a third in relief, allowed 4 runs on 3 hits, 2 Ks, a walk, and 2 home runs. They sent him down to AAA. He has currently been DFA'd off the 40-man roster, but he is at the moment in AAA with the Atlanta Braves, so is still in the Braves system. The Orioles did not make a claim on him when he came back around on waivers from Atlanta, but for Jay Fla, obviously it was a cool story just to see him get to the majors, and we wish him all the best currently with the Gwinnett Stripers. That is the AAA affiliate of the Braves for the 29-year-old right-hander, the former Orioles 6th-round pick, who, at least in AAA, is still pitching for Atlanta this season, but does have a 5.76 ERA in 27 games out of their AAA bullpen. But that's a look at all the guys, and really, you know, it all started with Josh Rogers, who, you know, never pitched for the Orioles the major league level this season, which is why I didn't include him. But that's kind of where it came from, because Rogers threw 6 scoreless innings the other day with 6 strikeouts for the Nationals. But I gotta say, his stuff still doesn't look great, but we'll see if that works out for him. But he was kind of another piece from the Zach Britton trade that ended up on another team. Rogers is now with, of course, the Nationals. Cody Carroll was released as well. Really, that trade kind of hinging on Dylan Tate still, who is still with the Orioles at the major league level. But again, you know, you didn't hear a lot of success stories in terms of guys who were released for the Orioles. Not a lot of guys we're going to look back on, I feel like, and say, ah, should have held on to him. The Orioles are cycling through a lot of players this year, trying to figure out who can get them some wins. But speaking of some wins, the Orioles have one more chance to do it against the Yankees this season, coming up later this evening. And coming up after the break, we will preview the final game in 2021 between the Orioles and the Yankees. So we'll be back to talking Orioles in just a second, but first, back and better than ever, that describes betonline.ag. as all eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back to start another football season. And as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. And head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today, and you can receive a 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. And don't forget to use that promo code NFL100. And while you're there, plug in that promo code LOCKEDON as well, so they know that we sent you. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. At BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. And today's episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast is also brought to you by RockAuto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to RockAuto.com at home and in your pocket. You can save time and money when using RockAuto.com, and it's a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. And the best part is, RockAuto.com's prices are reliably low for every single customer. And they also have everything you could possibly need, from brake parts to tail lamps to motor oil, even new carpet. And for me, I know nothing about cars, but I can still navigate this website super easily and find what I need. So go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And write Locked On Orioles in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. So we just talked about some guys who are no longer with the Orioles and are on other teams, whether it be in the minors or at the major league level. But now back to the guys who do play for the Orioles at the moment. And they have one more chance to play spoiler against the New York Yankees this season. They are currently, as we stand, they are 7-11 against the Yankees this year. This is the final matchup between the two teams. And a interesting 5:05 p.m. Eastern time start for the final game of the series at Camden Yards, because the Avett brothers are playing a concert after the game, which is why the game is starting at 5:05. I will be in the ballpark for the game tonight. Will be one of my last games I will go to this season, but excited to see the Orioles there, and hopefully I can see a win against the Yankees, and I can see the Orioles avoid loss number 100. But pitching for the Yankees is the 28-year-old left-hander Jordan Montgomery, who will make his 27th start for New York this season. He has a 3.71 ERA in 138 and a third inning so far this season, a guy who has done some damage to the Orioles in his career. Now, his last start, he was not very good. He pitched at Citi Field over the weekend against the Mets, gave up 7 hits, 5 runs in 3 1/3 innings, struck out 6 and walked 3. And then his start before that did come against the Orioles the weekend before, 4 2/3, although he gave up just 1 run on 6 hits. He struck out 5 and walked 2. In terms of Montgomery this year, it's been a whole lot of appearances against the Orioles. He faced the O's a lot early in the season, faced them 3 times in the first 2 months of the year. May 16th, that was his last start against the O's in Baltimore. The O's got to him. 3 innings, 5 runs, 6 hits, 4 Ks, and 2 walks. He also faced the O's twice in April. April 29th at Camden Yards, 5 innings, 2 runs, 6 hits. And then April 5th in New York, 6 scoreless innings, 4 hits, 7 Ks, and no walks. So it's been kind of a mixed bag for Montgomery, who historically before 2021 had been really, really good against the Orioles. This year, it's kind of been back and forth. The O's have been better against left-handed starters this year. Hopefully, they can get to him. And then going for the Orioles is the guy who has just continued to be really good for the O's. The 28-year-old right-hander Chris Ellis will take the mound for the Orioles. It will be his 5th appearance for the O's this season. Overall, in the majors this year, he has a 2.08 ERA in 21 2/3 innings of work. His last start came against Toronto. He was solid again. 5 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 4 Ks, and 4 walks. Ellis, of course, also pitched in Yankee Stadium against the Yankees a couple of weeks ago. 5 scoreless innings, allowed just 1 hit, struck out 2, and walked 3. Now, obviously, I love getting from Chris Ellis. Basically, so far, we've been guaranteed 5 innings and 1 run or less, and I will take that. But what I would like to see from Chris Ellis in tonight's game, little better strikeout to walk ratio. Again, the last two starts combined, it has been 10 innings of one run ball, but it has been 7 walks to 6 strikeouts. I would like to see that flip the other way and see some more strikeout stuff that we know Chris Ellis has. That would be nice to see, especially against a great Yankees lineup. So that game will commence tonight. Now, before we go, I do have to tell you about another podcast here on the network that, you know, if you're interested in gambling, maybe you should be listening to, is Betting on Baseball, or frankly, betting on any sport, especially football right now as football season starts. It doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your pods. But back here on Locked On Orioles, we hope you are enjoying the content here. Again, we're going to have a lot of content here on the pod as the season ends pretty soon here, just a couple of weeks to go. But we will have a lot of retrospective episodes back on this season, but we'll still stick with you every day throughout the end of this regular season as the Orioles, we know they're not playing for a lot. They're about to hit 100 losses, but at least they're trying to play spoiler. Hopefully they can do that tonight against the Yankees. But we'll be back tomorrow here on the pod recapping the final game of the series between the Orioles and the Yankees and get you ready for another series where the O's can play spoiler as they head up north to take on the Boston Red Sox for a 3-game set this weekend, another team fighting for wild card position. But we'll talk about all that and more on tomorrow's episode. But until then, I'm Connor Newcomb, and this has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.